Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, March 4th edition of the MLB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. And I got my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to join me today. There's a lot of fight announcements, Cole. I want to get your opinion on them. So let's just get right into this one. Peter Yan versus Marlon Moraes will be headlining UFC Kazakhstan. So like about a month ago, there was this like kind of random Russian website that had this booking, basically saying they had a quote from the manager saying that the fight was being discussed by the UFC. And I remember I pitched it to Tom and I told you about it, right? And you were like, oh, I'm gonna text the manager to see what's up. But yeah, it's manager. And of course, he's like, well, I didn't say that. I was misquoted. Like, there's no confirmation this fight's happening, basically. A month later, Cole, it's happening. So we are getting to see this fight. So I'd love to say I told you so, Cole. But at the same time, they kind of like gave you some bad information too, right? But I guess that's what managers do, right? But either way, Cole, great fight. Love the fight. Makes a lot of sense. They needed a headliner for this card. Peter Yan from close by in Siberia. It's pretty close by. And then, obviously, Moraes is a top contender. I would assume the winner of this fight gets a title shot against Cejudo versus Aldo. You'd have to guess, right? Anyways, great fight, Cole. What do you think about the matchup? And who do you kind of favor to win this fight?
Yeah, I really like this matchup. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think winner of this probably is going to fight the winner of Cejudo Aldo. I mean, but then you still have Sterling Sandhagen out there. I'd like to see them be matched up as well. Like, even if you put them on like the co-main of this card, really make this just like a bantamweight kind of mini tournament. That would be cool. But I really like this fight. Get to see Peter Yan 5 rounds. He fought 5 rounds when he was the ACB champ in Russia. So he's done it before. We've seen Moraes. He appeared to gas out against Cejudo. I don't know if that was just like a bad weight cut or what. So it's going to be interesting to see how his cardio holds up for 5 rounds if it goes there. But yeah, this should be a great fight. I think the odds will be pretty close. I lean towards Yan slightly, but I think Yan might even open up as an underdog just because Moraes has fought the better competition. He has been in a title fight before.
Yeah, I think the odds will be close too, for sure. I would favor Yan, though. I would assume he's slightly favored just because of the hype. You know, Cole, like, I know what you're saying, though. Moraes has been in there with better guys. He's beaten better guys, but and he's higher ranked too. But Yan, just so much hype, and he looks so good in his favor in his last fight. So I'm just seeing right now, Dennis Geico, who's like a Russian journalist, he just tweeted an article out with another quote from, of course, Yan's manager. This time, Danny Rue. The other one you were talking to was his Russian manager. Danny said, Peter's agreed to fight Marlon, but he's also agreed to fight Aljo and Corey Sandhagen, too, in the card. He said that this fight is not 100% official, but it's looking good anyways. And MMA Junkie reported it. I think that their information generally is pretty good. So it feels like sometimes they get their fights before the fighters themselves, Cole. Like sometimes the UFC will slip them, hey, this is the fight we're going to book, and the fighters themselves find it on Twitter. So I have a feeling this fight's going to happen. And then, of course, you'll have Aljamain Sterling versus Corey Sandhagen, Cole. And it's like almost like a mini tournament. Aljamain Sterling alluded to this a few weeks ago. He said that they were going to do a 4-man tournament. It's not an official tournament. I mean, it could be. But I would assume it's going to be like the women's featherweight division, Cole. Most impressive gets a title shot. So you got the two fights here. I'm guessing the second fight is going to be booked soon. Just say Yan goes out there and knocks out Moraes. Yeah, of course he gets a title shot. But just say that Moraes wins a kind of a uneventful decision like the Jose Aldo fight. And then Sterling goes in there and submits Sandhagen, where Sandhagen knocks Sterling out. I think they could jump ahead in line too. So it'll probably be like one of those situations where it's the most impressive guy. But I really do like this booking. It's a great fight. It makes a lot of sense. All right, there's a bunch of other fights to get to, but I want to get to a little bit of news first, Cole, with you. Got to get your thoughts on this, obviously, because you've had a lot of back and forth with Waleed Ishmael the last few days. Dana White's confirmed Davison Figueiredo will be rematching Joseph Benavidez next. We've talked about this the last couple of days, Cole, me and you, and I don't know what to think about this rematch. Like, I understand what Dana said. He basically said that the weight miss was one thing, one factor, but the other factor was the clash of heads, the accidental clash of heads, which he believes did lead to the finish. And you know what? It was right before the knockout, so it's hard to disagree with that. But I'll be honest, Cole, I don't really see the fight going any different. Like, I just think Figueiredo's a better fighter than Joseph Benavidez. And even if he does have to suffer to cut those last 2.5 pounds, I still think he wins. So, you know, it's a good thing for the flyweight division because the division lives on. That's a good thing, Cole. Good for the other fighters. It's not going to be closed down anytime soon. But at the same time, I just don't see too many people excited for this rematch. Give me your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the rematch either. Like, I thought stand-up-wise in that entire fight, I thought Figueiredo was the better striker. He had the more power. And even on the ground, that's what surprised me most. I thought Benavidez might have a wrestling and ground advantage. But Figueiredo looked good. He almost submitted Benavidez in the first round. Like, he had that tight armbar. Like, So I think that just showed, like, Figueroa was better everywhere. Like, I don't think Benavidez has that knockout, that one punch, like, knockout power that can just change the fight. I think Figueroa was better. I don't think 2.5 pounds really makes a difference. And the clash of heads, that was really Benavidez's fault. Like, he was always leading with his head. It's not like Figueroa, like, put his head in the way. Like, that was all Benavidez. I would favor Benavidez, or I'd favor Figueroa. I think Figueroa is going to be a pretty big favorite this time instead of being an underdog, but I personally don't like the rematch. I thought the Formiga Moreno winner made a lot more sense.
Yeah, and Formiga, actually, he did an interview yesterday with MMA Fighting. He wanted to basically throw his name in the hat, said whoever wins between me and Brandon should get the title shot. And honestly, Cole, I think that would have made more sense. Here's the thing. Figueroa lost to Formiga just last year, Cole, in UFC Nashville. It was a dominant performance by UFC Formiga. Just took him down. And that's the blueprint I thought Benavidez would follow, Cole. I thought he was going to use that wrestling-based game plan that Formiga did and implemented really well against Davison Figueiredo. But instead, he chose to stand and bang, and it was a huge mistake. Maybe in the rematch, he'll fight differently. Maybe he'll just shoot for takedowns right away. But like you said, Cole, I think I forgot about that first round, like you said, because everyone's thinking about the knockout. But that first round, Cole, that armbar was really tight. Like, a lot of guys actually probably would have tapped that. Benavidez obviously isn't, like, a master at scrambling, got out of it. But that was tight, Cole. And honestly, I'm with you, man. I think that, yeah, Figueiredo was the dog the first time around, because a lot of people, like, even me and you, we just didn't think that he, with a lack of experience in a championship fight, would be able to beat Benavidez. But I think we saw in that fight, Cole, he's just a better MMA fighter right now, you know? So I think, yeah, he will be favored to win the rematch. Again, I'm not a huge fan of this, but they need fights. They need title fights, like you talked about yesterday, Cole. You made the great point that they need these title fights to headline these fight night cards. That's why this fight's going to stick around. I know they want to fight at International Fight Week. Khalid, I think, said that, Cole. He wants to be the co-main event. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they'll put three title fights on this card. I think it'll be like a headliner, maybe like a UFC, like California card or something like that, like a small city. It'll headline that kind of card again. But yeah, that's basically what the flyweight division is. Now, I'll say this. If he misses weight again, then what happens? Maybe they should have a backup plan. Maybe they should have another fight in the card. Maybe you could do, like, winner of Moreno Formiga against someone else in the division on the same card, just in case, Cole, there's a weight miss that you could take Figueiredo to the fight, because I don't think Benavidez will be missing weight. Anyways, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it, but what are you going to do? All right, Nate Diaz, he tweeted at Conor McGregor yesterday, basically said, like, what happened to your season? Because Conor said, last year when he made his comeback, or he announced his comeback, he's like, I'm going to fight three times in 2020. I'm going to fight once in January against Nate Diaz. I'm going to fight once in the middle of the year against, I think he wanted to either be, oh, sorry, Cerrone would be the first one, excuse me. And then the second one would be against Nate Diaz or Masvidal, if I'm not mistaken. And then the last fight would be against Khabib in Russia. And right now it's March and Conor's second fight's not announced. And it's not looking like it's going to be announced anytime soon. So you can see why Nate's frustrated. I think he is angling for that trilogy fight. It does make a lot of sense, I think, for both guys, because it's a huge fight. Do you think it's going to happen, Cole? Do you think that's going to happen next year? Do you think Conor just waits till Khabib and Tony figure out their fight and just wait to see what happens with that title?
Yeah, I think we're not going to hear any Conor fight news until after April 18th. I think it's only in a month from now. Why book a fight and then something happens there, then you have to pull out and you're stepping in? I think nothing can happen until after April. After April, maybe looks at the options. I think he's going to fight maybe around July. I don't get the sense that he's going to wait around until September, October for whoever wins Khabib, Tony. I think he wants to stay active, so I think he's going to wait till after April. Then he's going to look, like, does Gaethje make sense? Does Diaz make sense? Like, I think it's really going to come down to what Conor wants. Like, if the UFC could really push the Diaz trilogy all they want, but if Conor goes, I'm only fighting Gaethje, they're making the Gaethje fight. Like, Conor has all the cards. Like, he's picking who he wants to fight and when he wants to fight, if he wants to fight again this year before Khabib, Tony.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. If you're the UFC, which fight do you push for if they want him to fight again before Khabib? Nate Diaz or Justin Gaethje? I mean, it's got to be Nate Diaz, right?
I'd push for the Gaethje one. I think the Gaethje one makes a lot more sense. If he wins that, then he shows, like, yeah, he is a top contender. Where Diaz is coming off the loss, was pretty dominant to Masvidal. And that Diaz trilogy, it makes sense anytime. He could go fight Khabib or Tony later this year. Even if Conor loses, he could say, all right, I'm fighting Diaz after this.
Yeah, no, that fight's always there. I agree with that. But I just feel like Diaz is probably a bigger name. And I think it probably would sell more pay-per-views than a Justin Gaethje fight. But regardless of the opponent, Cole, you know that Connor's fight's going to be big, right? So UFC can't lose him. I think they should get him back in there. I mean, what's the point of making him wait again, like till, you know, the fall or winter even, possibly, Cole? He's got to fight again in between. That's what I would do. I mean, why would they? It's their biggest cash cow, and they're going to just have him wait in the sidelines. It's kind of dumb. All right, another piece of news here. Max Holloway, he's going to be in attendance this weekend in Wichita, I believe it is, for or Kansas City, whatever it is, for the Invicta event where they're going to use open scoring. Kevin Scott, who's one of our listeners, Cole, he made the point the other day that a lot of these fights, I believe, are going to be one-round fights for that Phoenix series, so the open scoring will come into play. What do you think about this? A lot of, like, Max Holloway's convinced this is going to change MMA judging. I really don't. I don't think it's going to change much at all, to be honest with you. I just don't see the upside to open scoring that some other people see.
Yeah, it's, so most of the fights are one round, but there's a title fight at the top of the card, which is going to be interesting. I'm all for new things. Like, it's Invicta. Try open scoring. Like, here's what Holloway said. He's like, we have to try stuff to see what works. If it doesn't work, then all right, we know it doesn't work. Like, people are so against open scoring or so for open scoring, but they've never really seen it work. Like, I'm glad Invicta or, like, any of these smaller promotions are starting to do this just because it gives fans, like, a chance. Like, if someone's up 3-0 in a title fight, like, do they just not fight the fourth and fifth round and just stall? Like, what's that? What? Because that's my big concern is, say that Corey Anderson, Jan Blachowicz, say Corey Anderson is up 3-0 after heading into the championship rounds. You really think he's going to go after Jan Blachowicz? He would just have held him against the fence and just kind of wrestled and held him there. It's going to be interesting to see what the action's like. Or if the, because everyone says, oh, but if that person knows they're down, they're going to go all for it. But it, you need two to fight. Like,
yeah,
one person can go for it, but the other person can just, right when they come in, just grab and stall. Like,
I agree.
I'm interested to see how it works, but I don't know if it's going to make this huge difference that everyone thinks it is.
I don't really like it that much. And yeah, I totally understand the point about, you know, maybe a fighter seeing that they're down and they're fighting harder. I get that. But at the same time, Cole, like, that's saying that the fighters right now are fighting to their best of their abilities. Like, that's kind of like almost throwing shade at the fighters right now. I don't really think it's going to change much, man. Also, I feel like it takes away the anticipation as a fan and someone watching it. Like, there is that excitement of waiting for the decision. Like, you know, you're waiting for Bruce Crawford to read the scorecards, Cole. And I'm talking to my friends in the room saying, who do you think won the fight? What do you think they're going to score? Like, that there's some fun to that. You know, as a fighter, we're not fighters, obviously. So we don't know that feeling of, I guess, just like almost fear of what the judges are going to do. Maybe they don't like that, but I feel like it is part of the sport. And I don't want to get rid of it. I mean, I honestly don't see open scoring coming to the UFC anytime soon. I guess it's a good thing Invicta's trying it out. Like, why not? But at the same time, Cole, I think it's just a problem. The judging in this sport is just mostly uneducated judges. And a lot of that has to do with just the fact that, why would you be an MMA judge? Like, you don't make a lot of money, and you have to, like, you know, you're basically have guys' careers in the line. And when you screw up, you get, you know, shit on by everyone. So to me, it's like, there's not too much upside to being a judge. Like, I don't really see it as a good job. So I just feel like a lot of people that could be educated on it don't want to do it, you know, personally. Like, I think I'd be a really good judge personally, but I have no interest in doing that because I'm a journalist and this is what I want to do. You know, I couldn't be an impartial judge when I'm a journalist. So it wouldn't make sense. But yeah, I don't know, Cole. There's a lot of different thoughts about judging in this sport. I just think ultimately there probably is some ways to change the scoring system, make it better. But I don't think we need this, like, complete overhaul. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think there's that many bad decisions in the sport. Like, you'll have one every, you know, few cards or something. But overall, I think the judges generally do get a lot of decisions right, you know?
Yeah, well, even, like, people get mad at, like, someone winning 30-27 when they should have won 29-28. It doesn't matter. They still won. Like,
yeah.
It really, like, okay, give him 29-28. He still lost. Like, what's the big deal with that? And I agree with you, like, those close title fights when you're waiting for Bruce Buffer to say and newer and still, like, yeah, that just ruins all the excitement. Like, that's where you're like, oh, are we going to see a new champion? Like, oh, I don't know. Like, this is going to be close. And Bruce Buffer's pause, like, it adds the drama to, like, the whole fight. So, like, you just lose all that. And then it's just like, what's the even point of reading the decision? Because you already know who won.
Great point. I mean, just look up at that board or whatever and be like, okay, that's the person who won. I'm with you completely. All right, got a couple comments here from Kenshiro Doju. If the loser knows he's losing, he could also go for the knockout, the point winner too. And but this helps commissions and judges not have to be criticized for close decisions. Yeah, he's right. He's right about that too. he's right. Because just say they are, you know, wrong with their scoring. Just say, like, there's a fight that is a clear 2018 through the first two rounds call, and the Chargers have it 19-19, right? And then it goes to the third round, and the guy who should have lost the second round wins in the third round and then wins the decision. Then the commission and the judges can say, well, the guy knew he was down and or tied and he didn't do enough, but really he probably should have won because he should have won the first round. So, yeah, I that's a good point too. All right. Let's do some fight announcements, Cole, because there was quite a few yesterday. Obviously, we did talk about Yan and Marias already, but let's get to some other ones. I'll start with UFC Saskatoon, Cole. So that's June 20th in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. And last year I went through, or 2 years ago actually, it's been 2 years now, I took the train trip from Toronto to Vancouver. It was amazing, Cole, by the way. It was incredible. And we went through Saskatchewan, and like I said, it's just grass and wheat. So it's a lot of fun. But yeah, they have a card coming there. No main event yet. Not sure. I was reading David Shaw's quotes today. He said they want to bring a good main event. It could be a title. Maybe they do Formiga versus – or Figueroa, Cole, versus Benavidez. It's possible, right? Maybe they do that fight there. I don't know. Maybe they'll do a title fight. But either way, there's not many Canadians that could headline the card. So I'm assuming it's going to be like a foreigner or an American headlining the card. Don't know who it's going to be. But anyways, as far as fights go, they did announce two fights for this card. And the first one is a middleweight bout between Marc-Andre Berrio and Oscar Pichota. And as soon as I saw this, I sent you a DM, and I'm like, how is this guy still in the UFC? Because they're cutting people left, right, and center, Cole. And Marc-Andre Berrio is 0-3 in the UFC. All three of his fights have gone the distance. None of them have been particularly exciting, I guess, except for maybe the Andrew Sanchez fight, which was a pretty good fight. But the last two fights were not very exciting. And somehow he still has a spot on the roster. He takes on Oscar Pichota, who is also – no, he's actually 2-3, but he's on 0-3 win streak, or losing streak, coming off three straight stoppage losses. And hasn't won a fight in the UFC since 2018. The two guys he has wins over are not in the UFC anymore. Two guys that I don't even think should be on the roster right now. Two guys at 0-3 losing skids. But someone's always got to go, Cole. I guess I lean towards Berrio a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know how either of them are in the UFC when they're cutting all these guys. If they're cutting Brad Katona, but they keep Marc-Andre Berrio. Like, if you need Canadians, you should have kept Katona. It's Katona's at least gets finishes. Marc-Andre Berrio has been in three boring fights. All these. That fight against Jock was probably the worst fight on 240. Oh, and against Park, that was probably the worst fight on the Boosin card. Like, it's not like he's in boring fights. Like, he's in the worst fights on the cards. Yeah. He just has a boring style. Like, he doesn't go for it. He just picked Toja. Like, I don't know how either of them are. I'd favor Berrio slightly just being in Canada. But he's a guy that I heard a lot about in TKO that he had kind of had a pattern record. He wasn't as good as he was. And now we're seeing the UFC. He really isn't the UFC caliber. Loser, this has to be cut. But man, I wouldn't stay away from this betting wise at all, but just because they're both low level UFC fighters you can get.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. But tell us how you really feel. No, I'm kidding. All right, let's get to the other fight here for Saskatoon, not Saskatchewan, Saskatoon. Jillian Robertson against Tyler Santos, women's strawweight bouts. Jillian Robertson's pretty good. She's 4-2 in the UFC. Has a couple notable wins, Emily Whitmire and Molly McCann, coming off a loss to Macy Barber by stoppage, which obviously does not look very good right now, Cole, after what happened to Macy in her last fight. And she takes on Tyla Santos here, who is 0-1 in the UFC. She lost to Mayra Romero Barella last year. And just looking at her record, no real notable wins in her career. She got a spot in the UFC off of the Contender Series and she only had the one fight, so hasn't really had a chance to show anything. But I think this is Robertson's fight to lose. I mean, she does have a lot more experience in the UFC, and her ground game is actually very good. She has good submissions. But I don't know. I'm not buying her as much as some people are. I don't think she's just, like, top contender or anything like that. Like, she sells herself well on social media. She keeps the fans engaged, and I get that. That's good. But, yeah, I don't know, Cole. This is kind of, like, not a great fight. Like, hopefully – like, seriously, like, this is the press release and these are the two fights they're going to announce. Like, can't they announce, like, an exciting fight? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to go Jillian Robertson. Just her ground game is so much better. She's going to take Santos down. Her ground pound's pretty vicious. She has good submission, good jiu-jitsu. I think this is Robertson's fight to lose. I think she's probably going to stop Santos. But, yeah, I don't – if you're announcing fights – these are not the two. These are the two fights you put at the bottom of the press release that say, oh, yeah, there's also these two fights. Like, you start off with at least, like, a main card fight. Like, neither of these two are maybe, like, I won't even be surprised Berrio's opening up this card.
Yeah, you know what, Cole? Let's be honest. He's probably gonna be in the main card. They love him, man. They really do. He's probably gonna open up the TV card.
He really should open the card.
Yeah, he probably should be in the prelims, but I think he's gonna be in the main card. Let's see here. Comment here. Kenshiro Doju, UFC roster manager, probably tosses pins at list of names. I think they're just cutting guys and girls coming off losses right now. But yeah, it's weird when you got two guys coming off three straight losses and they get another chance. Whereas I think Katona lost two straight and he got cut. And there's a few guys on that list. Cole last month lost one straight, got cut. Listen, roster management is not easy. It's never easy to let people go. But at the same time, you know, in the case of Pachota and Barrio, like, there's nothing I've seen in those guys' games to indicate that they're UFC caliber fighters. So it's just kind of weird. All right, next up, UFC Oklahoma City gets kind of a head-scratcher too, Cole. Alonzo Menifield against Devin Clark in the light heavyweight division. And when this fight was announced yesterday, you sent me a DM saying, like, I don't understand the matchmaking here. And I'm kind of with you. Like, I thought Menifield really deserved, like, a step up, like, to a top 15 guy at least. You know, this is what I was saying, like, last week when they announced Shogun versus Little Nog. I would have rather seen a guy like Menifield fight Shogun. Like, let him fight a veteran like that and give him a chance to win, Cole, instead of letting him fight Clark. I know Clark's coming off a win over Townsend, but, you know, you look at who Clark's beat, Cole, all the guys that he's beaten are not even in the UFC anymore. Like, and he always wins by decision. He gets knocked out in his losses. Menifield has looked good in the UFC. Great, actually, I should say, with the wins over Craig and Maria. I think this guy's legitimate, like, at 205. I don't know why he hasn't fought that much lately. I guess he was injured or something, but... Yeah, Cole, I really like Menifield in this fight, man. I think he knocks Clark out probably in the first round.
Yeah, I really like Menifield too, but it's kind of interesting. I was joking to Safe about this yesterday. Like, he has three light heavyweights on his roster in the UFC. He has Ryan Spann, Kenny Jack, and Alonzo Menifield. And it seems like they're just trading opponents. Like, Ryan Spann's fought Devin Clark, and he's set to fight Paul Craig. Devin Clark's set to fight Alonzo Menifield. Paul Craig's fought Alonzo Menifield and Kenny Njeku. He's set to fight Ryan Spann. And then Kennedy Njeku, he's fought Paul Craig too. It seems like, I'm like, Save, you just obviously know how to beat these guys. You just have your three fighters just going through them all. He's like, that's just how the UFC match makes. But yeah, I think Menifield's going to knock out Devin Clark. Menifield has a ton of power. He's looked really impressive. I think he's going to get done pretty early.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. And also in that card, Cole, this is a really good fight. Ryan Hall against Ricardo Lamas. So Lamas is not ranked right now, but I have a lot of respect for him as a fighter. I think he's a really good fighter. And he's like a borderline top 15 guy. I know he's at the end of his career, basically, but he is still a dangerous guy, Cole. Ryan Hall had a lot of problems getting an opponent. No one wants to fight him because he's ranked, like, I think 13th right now. And the guys ahead of him don't want to fight him. The guys behind him wouldn't want to fight him. So he's just in a tough spot. But Lamas is a very well-respected fighter. So he's not ranked. That does suck for Hall because he was waiting for that ranked guy. But I think if he can go out there and beat Lamas, that's going to say a lot to him. And I think it might force the UFC to kind of force other fighters to, like, accept a fight with him. You know, it's surprising he's 35, Cole. I got to be honest. Like, he's not a guy that you look like and you're like, hey, he's 35 because he hasn't been around that long. But, you know, he's pretty talented, man. He's looked good in the UFC, like 4-0, coming off a nice win over Elkins where he showed some evolution in his striking, and the win over BJ Penn, obviously, 2 years ago. That was a submission of the year. Lamas, a well-respected veteran. Again, I think he is he's had a really underrated career. He's got some nice wins, Cole, in his career. Cub Swanson. That was a big win. Charles Oliveira, Darren Elkins as well, Diego Sanchez. So he's got some really nice wins. Coming off a loss to Calvin Kattar by KO, that's obviously scary. I don't think Hall knocks him out, which makes it an interesting fight because Lamas has a really good wrestling game to kind of stuff the takedowns of Hall. And on the feet, you think he would be a better striker, but he is a little bit older at 37, a little long in the tooth now. I don't know, Cole. I mean, I have to favor Hall just based on the win streak, but I think this is a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, I favor Hall too. I just think his ground game, I don't know if Lamas can even match that. It's those heel hooks and those Omari rolls are so hard. And then he even showed that Elkins fight. Like, all he throws is kicks, and you know kicks are coming, and he throws those spinning kicks, but Elkins couldn't even block them, like, because they're so unorthodox, and he dropped Elkins a couple times. I think he's going to submit Ricardo Lamas or get a decision win, but I hope after this, Hall stays active. I've talked to Hall a bunch, and basically, no one wants to fight him. He goes, I accept every single fight TFC offers me. And then it'll be like 9-10 guys. And he literally said on Ariel's show, which is kind of interesting because you always hear people, he's like, oh, I get turned down. But he literally on Ariel's show, he's like, this guy turned me down, this guy turned me down, this guy turned me down. And he just named six guys that turned him down. So it's kind of cool that he's getting that fed up. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to say, you turned me down. Just make it out in the public. I hope if he ends up beating Lamas, like you said, the UFC kind of goes, all right, you have to fight this fight or you're going to fight this no-name guy, like, doesn't make any sense for your career. Like, just kind of force these guys into these matchups.
Yeah, it's crazy how many guys like turn fights down, right? And here's the thing: when you turn a fight down, that counts as a fight on your not on your contract, but the UFC has to offer you 3 fights a year, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, or they have to pay you 3 fights if they don't.
But when you turn down a fight, that counts as one of the 3 fights, Cole. So that's what happened with Nate Diaz. He keeps like getting his contract told, basically, and he's always turning down guys. Dana White's like, well, and Nick too. They offer him 3 fights a year. He turns them all down. But they get to keep the contract going. So it's kind of sketchy the way it works, but you know, it's these guys' fault for kind of turning down the fight. All right, next up, Peter Barrett versus Danny Henry at UFC Lincoln. So there was like some confusion yesterday. I don't know if you kind of were following it. Actually, you messaged me about it. I think Mike Hacked, who's one of our coworkers at BJ Penn, reported it was Billy Quarantillo against Peter Barrett, and then Nolan King adjusted that to Danny Henry. So I guess Mike was half right. It is what it is. I'm pretty sure that's what happened, right, Cole? And right? Is that
No, and then Mike came out like after Nolan said, oh, it's not Quarantillo. Right. He's like, oh, sorry, I got told the wrong guy. It's Danny Henry.
That happens, though. I mean, it's happened to me before, too. There was a few years ago where I was told that Jory Meehan was going to fight Brandon Thatch, and I reported it, and I was like, man, this fight. And Brandon Thatch, man, what happened to that guy? I don't know if you remember him, Cole. He was sick. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
He hasn't fought in like 5 years. He was a great fighter for a while. Anyways, I was told that fight was going to happen by someone who trains with them, trains with Brandon Thatch, and I reported it. And an hour later, another website, I don't want to name them, but they said, this report's not right, but it's half right because Jordan Meehan's going to fight, or Brandon Thatch is going to fight John Howard. So I was like half right on it. So I was like, okay, whatever. So it sucks, but that's exactly what happened with Mike. Sometimes you just get bad information. Doesn't really matter, Cole. That's more like the journalist side here. Anyways, Peter Barrett, Contender Series guy, kind of a funky dude. He's coming off that win over Sanghoo Yu on Contender Series. Hasn't fought since last year. Looking at his career, his record's just 11-3, so it's not bad. But doesn't really have any notable wins, Cole. His most notable opponent would be probably TJ Brown, who's in the UFC now. He lost to him by submission 3 years ago. Danny Henry, 12-3, so pretty similar record. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He beat Hakeem Duwato by submission. That was a great win. Also beat Daniel Tamer. And then he lost to Dan Ige. Hasn't fought in a year. Interesting fight. I mean, I guess Barrett's going to be favored probably. Like, there's some hype behind him, but I think Henry's got a chance here.
I think Henry on the ground probably has a good chance. Like, we've seen Barrett be submitted before, not as good on the ground. I know Henry got submitted by Danny Ige last night, but Ige, we've seen what he could do. He's, what, top 15 featherweight. Danny Henry, like, that win over Hakeem Duwato looks really impressive. Hakeem Duwato has a lot of hype behind him. And then Daniel Tamer, I just think, like, Danny Henry on the ground is probably a bit better. I think odds are going to be close. I don't really know who I lean towards, but, yeah, it should be a good fight against all these Contender Series guys. It's kind of interesting. You think they're going to be good, then they get to the UFC and they're not as good as they're supposed to be. Like, I think that's what we're going to see a lot. Just Dana White gets so into just finishes.
Yep.
I know Bear didn't get a finish, but he just gets so into finishes that he's just like, oh, we're going to sign you. But he doesn't look at the rest of the fight where they got dominated. They didn't look that good. So it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of these Contender Series guys, including Barrett, look in their debuts. But and Henry obviously has that experience, and he has 2 good wins in the UFC.
And Barrett didn't even get a finish, which is kind of like even more head-scratching why he kind of got signed. Like, I didn't see that much out of him on the show, but maybe obviously the UFC matchmaker saw something, and maybe he'll show something to the UFC. I just saw Aljamain Sterling's tweet here, Cole. He said, hell of a scrap, the most stacked division in the game right now as far as the bantamweight division goes, as far as that fight goes. So that's kind of cool.
Peter Yan's tweet, he just said a good tweet at Cejudo.
What did he say?
He just responded to, like, MMA Junkies, like, Marais Yan headline, and he goes, loser get the title shot at Henry Cejudo.
Oh, my God. That's so good. Yeah, I love him. I don't even know if that – come on. That's not Peter Yan tweeting, man.
I think it's his manager, but
– it's got to be either Danny or the other guy. What's the other guy's name?
Syat.
Probably him. I mean, there's no way it's Peter Yan, dude. He can't even speak English. Then all of a sudden, he's got, like, perfect grammar on Twitter. Like, I love it, though. He follows me, and, you know, I follow him, and he's great to follow, but I just don't really think it's him. But at the same time, Cole, I mean, that goes for a lot of fighters. Like, everyone under Ali Abdel Aziz's stable. I'm pretty sure that's not them tweeting, Cole. I'm pretty sure it's Ali or one of his cronies. Anyways, one other fight here. Jordan Espinoza against – and I told you yesterday I'm going to have trouble pronouncing this guy's name. I'm going to try my best. Zlagas Zubagulov. I think I got that, Cole. So that's the fight, UFC Kazakhstan flyweight fight. You mentioned this guy's name yesterday. You said that they signed him. So I'll call him Zhumagulov. I think I got it right now.
His nickname is Zacko, if that makes it easier.
What's his nickname?
Zacko, Z-H-A-K-O. Zacko?
No, I'll call him Zhumagulov. I like his name, actually. It's kind of cool. Anyways, this dude is, he's Kazakhstan fighter, 13-3. And cool. Like, I have heard about this guy because he has a couple of really good wins in fight nights. He beat Ali Bagutinov, a former UFC title challenger at 125, and he also has a win over Tyson Nam. Those are really good wins on a 4-fight win streak here. He takes on Jordan Espinoza. Jordan's kind of struggling in his career. He's 14-7. That's not a very good record, but, you know, he does have a win in the UFC over Eric Shelton, who's not in the UFC anymore. Still a win in the octagon. Losses to Matt Schnell and Alex Perez. Those are pretty good fighters, Cole. Like, I wouldn't say those are terrible losses by any means. But, yeah, you'd have to assume the UFC's giving this Zhumagulov guy a chance to win on his home soil. And I'm assuming he'll probably be a pretty big favorite here.
Yeah, Zhumagulov, I've only heard good things about him just from, like, European guys.
Yeah.
Espinoza, like, you can't really take much into his two losses. Matt Schnell and Alex Perez, I know he both lost with triangle choke. That's kind of unusual to lose back-to-back fights the same way, but I think Zhumagulov, I think the UFC knows what they have in them. They're trying to set up I think they only have two Kazakhstan fighters. I think they're both on this card. I think they're both going to try to get the Kazakhstan fighters a win to show off for the home crowd. So I think that's what it's going to be. But the Zhumagulov guy, he obviously has good wins. Tyson Ammon and Bagutinov are really good wins to have.
Yeah, they're both really good wins. Ali Bagutinov for a while was like a really good fighter in the UFC. Of course, he got caught juicing, and then he got bounced out of the UFC. But at one point in time, Cole, he had fought Demetrius Johnson in Vancouver in a really boring fight that fans hated. And speaking of Vancouver, they went there last year. They're obviously going to Saskatoon this year. Like, you know, quickly, like, where do you think the other two locations are going to be? Because usually they go to three times to Canada. I really do think Toronto's going to be on the map. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think Toronto's the pay-per-view. Then I think they're going back out east, probably like Halifax, Moncton out there.
Yeah, it could be. But here's the other thing. What about Montreal, right? Like, they kind of screwed them a little bit here. Like, they haven't been since that awful fight with Demetrius and poor Gucci. It was a terrible pay-per-view.
Or people were leaving while the fight was going on.
Yeah, it was a bad card. I mean, it wasn't a good fight either. Like, I know, well, Demetrius tapped him out with, I think, 1 second left in the fifth round. But overall, it was like a really boring fight. I don't know what to say. I mean, Demetrius just never really, like, fans just didn't really buy into him. Like, obviously, he's a great fighter. We all know that he's one of the best ever. But, you know, for some reason, Cole, like, he just was never really able to connect with the fans. And I just feel like it's kind of unfair that that's the last memory that fans in Montreal have of the card, you know, of the UFC, that card. You know, like, they kind of deserve a new one. But think about it, though. Dana White promised Calgary for years a card after UFC 149, which was one of the worst cards of all time. Terrible card. They promised them for years. They kept saying, oh, we'll bring him back. We'll bring back a card. It took like 6 years for them to go back. So I don't know. Like, I think it's been 5 years from Montreal. Like, it's a pretty long time. Anyways, yeah, I think it's going to be Toronto probably, hopefully. And then I'll probably go to that one. I'm sure you will too. I went to all the other ones. I'm sure I'll go to this one. And then, yeah, you're saying East Coast. Could be, for sure. I mean, we're talking about this as well. Nova Scotia, Moncton, that's another place. I don't know, Cole. Like, there's got to be some other place. Winnipeg hasn't got a card in a while, if I'm not mistaken. Although I think Saskatchewan's kind of like, since it's pretty close by, that'll probably be the card in the West. It seems like they do West, Central, and then East, which I guess is an okay thing. I'd like for them to do more cards in Canada, but
I wish Toronto was a spot every year. Like, even if it wasn't a pay-per-view every
year. The UFC and Toronto has a very funny relationship because for the longest time, we had the record for the most attended event at UFC 129. You know, there's like 56,000. For years, that was a record. And then Rousey Holm broke it. And then Adesanya Whitaker just broke it again. But for years, that was the highest attended event in, I think, North American MMA history. And they did come back after that for the Jones Machida fight. And then they took a few years off. And then they came back for the Gustafson-Jones fight. And then they took like 3 years off after that.
Now, lately, it's just been every other year.
Yeah, it's like every year. But it really should be like a stop on the calendar. But again, I understand. They go to Vegas 4 times. That's the one problem. I wouldn't say it's a problem because for the UFC, I mean, it's great because Vegas is – there's a lot of money there, Cole. You know, they make more money in Vegas with a smaller arena like than they can anywhere else, really. And it's not really small, but compared to Rogers Center, where it's 56,000. But yeah, I just wish it'd be once a year. You know, obviously I'm biased because, and so are you because we live here. But yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of fans here in Toronto. But you know, the sport is kind of plateaued here a little bit too. I mean, with the lack of regional events, I think that hurts. And you know, Cole, this lack of a Canadian star these days without GSP around, Rory McDonald's not here anymore. Like, there's no real big star from Canada right now. You know, and I'm really thinking the UFC hopes someone breaks out, but I just don't know who it's going to be. All right, as far as finances go, that's it. Let's go to see what else we have, anything else to talk about here. I did see Yoel Romero. I don't know if I talked to you about this yesterday. I can't remember, but he wants to fight until he's 50-something, 53. The guy's a beast, but who fights into their 50s in MMA? Very few guys. I don't know, Cole. I feel like he's like Dan Henderson, though, man. He's like kind of ageless. You know, he's turning 43 next month.
I think he's going to go a couple more years. I wouldn't be surprised if he hits 46 or 47 and he's still fighting.
That'd be crazy. I think he can go like 3 or 4 more years probably. I don't think he's going to go 10, though. I mean, that's kind of stretching it, but I do think that's kind of funny. Seeing this Uriah Faber, Dustin Ortiz super fight, it's kind of good for those guys. Dustin Ortiz is a guy that got completely screwed. Why is he not back in the UFC at this point?
Like, and why is he not fought like anywhere? Like, just go pick up a win and say to the UFC, like, oh, I'm back. Like, come sign me. But
he got screwed, man, because they were cutting guys. They thought the division was going to be canceled. And then this is a guy who has a winning record in the UFC. His record in the UFC is 8-6. So a winning record. So I think he's a guy. He has wins over like Pantoja and Brady Bork. Remember this guy, Justin Scoggins? What happened to him? He got cut, right? I'm guessing.
I think he's in Ryzen now.
Ryzen, yeah. He's in Ryzen. Crazy. But he's not doing very good. Poor guy, man. What happened to him, Cole? He was like, we're all like, Justin Scoggins is going to be the next superstar. And then the guy just can't stop a choke. Choked all the time. Anyways, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's everything.
Yeah, I think that's good too. All right, cool. Plug your stuff, man.
At Twitter, Aquafson A1. I'll have today fighter picks for Rasonny Romero and Max Griffin. Interview with him up. And then tomorrow, Zhang Yuan fighter picks. Everything else is on my Twitter.
Awesome, cool. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And my home is MMAoddsbreaker.com. That's the home of the podcast. I'm also available at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net. Cole, man, thanks for joining me today. Great to get a second opinion on these fights. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning in. And if you missed yesterday's podcast, me and Cole broke down UFC 248 in its totality. So definitely go back and check out yesterday's show. I'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the show. Bye, guys. Still here, Cole?